Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Indeed, time for us to get inside your business, and more specifically so, taking a look at the role that business does play within society. When you think corporate social investment, what comes to mind? Well, one thing's for certain is that South Africa's fragile economy, business and companies play a critical role in making sure that they do contribute to the upliftment of communities. Their partnership with non-profit organizations remains critical to make sure that we do see social change, as that does play a significant influence on our economy. To tell us more about this, specifically zoning into the latest corporate responsibility, social responsibility report from Trilog, we join on the line by Trilog's Head of Thought Leadership, Sheldon Morais. Sheldon, such a pleasure to speak to you.
Guru, thank you very much for the opportunity, and the privilege is all mine.
Fantastic. I'm excited to speak to you on this one because I've been following the work that Trilog does do in terms of collating a lot of data and information around the state of CSI in South Africa. And post the pandemic, I guess there have been some rather interesting shifts. But as we look at 2024, what's the status quo?
Google, the status quo, as using the big number as an indicator in terms of how much are companies investing. Now, as you know, and your show deals with it every night, we faced tough economic conditions. You know, businesses have faced tough headwinds, both from a global aspect, but also, you know, locally with issues such as load shedding and the like, and the consumer under pressure. So it's been very interesting and encouraging to see that despite that, businesses have increased their spending year on year, their corporate social investment. So last year it came in at 11.8 billion rand from our calculations and research. And then this year we see it coming in at 12.7 billion rand. So that's about an increase of about 7.6% nominal. And factoring in inflation, you see an increase of 2.2%. So I think South African businesses have to be commended for that, because it could easily, you know, you could easily slash those budgets, you know, in terms of trying to trim your costs and remain profitable. But they've continued to invest in social development, especially in a country like South Africa, where we've got, you know, a number of complex problems, wicked problems, all the way from education to food, health, disaster relief we've seen at some time. So that's what we see from an indicator in terms of spending. So that really is encouraging. When we look at development sectors, you still see education receiving the bulk of that investment. And I think, you know, we realize the importance of education, and we can see the lasting impact. So all the way from early childhood development right up the way to tertiary education, which would have, you know, which has increased over the years, especially following fees must fall. So education getting the bulk of investing. A lot of the major corporates have some sort of education program or investment. Other sectors that we see are social and community development. As we know, a lot of our people live in poor communities, so improving and uplifting those communities as well. Health and food nutrition, as well as food security, farming, and upliftment of women. So those are the development areas where we see, you know, many corporates spending their money, and not only just spending money, but lending their resources, lending their capacity, giving in kind as well.
Yes.
So that's equally as important.
Got you. And that's actually an effect and a number that actually stood out for me, that even with businesses being cash strapped, there's still a prioritization of social investment, given the non-cash giving. And I see that that's a metric that's actually been growing here.
Yes, indeed. And I think that also speaks to the giving becoming more strategic. So it's not just about giving goods. So for instance, if you're a food manufacturer or a retailer, or you know, but it is about what we're seeing is companies lending their intellectual resources as well. So staff volunteering, staff being seconded to programs, organizations being more closely linked to their implementing partners and getting closer to the communities, understanding and listening to the communities, you know, what their experiences in are, because, you know, it could be easy to parachute into an area, think you've got a solution, but actually the community saying, well, you know what, this doesn't work for us. So I think we're seeing CSI becoming a lot more strategic in its framing, in its execution, and how it comes out, and also the measuring of impact. which I think is equally important.
Yeah, definitely. I love this because it actually goes back beyond the painting of classrooms and really trying to make an impact in the environments that they serve. But that also takes us to the nonprofit organizations that they partner with here, Sheldon. And I'm keen to understand the level of capacity building that goes around ensuring that NPOs themselves are sustainable. They can measure the outcomes of the investment and partnership that they seek from corporates in South Africa.
So that's something that we work with, especially with the corporates, you know, in terms of their interaction, to say, look, you need to build capacity within the NPOs that you work with, because ultimately they're the first line of monitoring and evaluating, right? So they need to know what metrics you're looking for. You need to understand what metrics are important to them, both in terms of output and then also in terms of outcome. So we have seen monitoring and evaluating growing from the corporate side, at capacity building happening with NPOs, but certainly more can be done. And often the NPOs are eager, are hungry to learn how better to run their organization, even if that's not their strength. So what we're seeing is the in-kind, the volunteering and the kind of investment that we're seeing is not just cash, but it is working more closely together, and then hopefully those skills are transferred. And just to your point about, you know, what NPOs want, and it's more than just painting classrooms. Mm. In fact, some NPOs are quite clear when they say, look, guys, we're not looking for, you know, a volunteering day. Because especially when, you know, for instance, you're working with children, or even if you're working with an NPO that does something else. So for one day, they'll have this upsurge of productivity and output, and then something that they can't maintain when the employees are gone. So yes, volunteering is an important part of CFI, but you've got NPOs who are really now becoming strategic and saying, look, how better can you work with us, you know, to have impact?
Definitely. And I'm keen maybe just to zone into that particular theme there, Sheldon, the impact, measure, monitoring and evaluation of the outcomes. And as you've mentioned, there's a strong level of investment that goes into education, social and community development. I see food security and agriculture and health also do feature as the top most supported development sectors. How is it that corporates are also essentially monitoring the outcomes, and what do the results from your report reveal?
So Google, our reports do reveal that there is a level of improvement that's needed with monitoring and evaluate. So that's the one aspect. So some organizations do it really well. They are strategic. So the way they would essentially run their businesses, right, in terms of reporting, which metrics are their key metrics that they measure the health of the business by, and then that is passed down, and you know, they work with NPOs, and there are some really fantastic NPOs that have that down in place. We've had awards in the past, you know, looking at monitoring and evaluating, and you see that coming from the NPOs themselves. But certainly there's a lot more work to be done on both sides, both from the NPOs but also from the corporates. What are they measuring? How do they know if they're having impact? You know, it's great that we're investing millions, but how do we know whether millions are getting being effectively used, are having the impact and the outcomes that we envisage? So certainly it is an area that needs to be improved, and I think year by year it does get better as, you know, as NPOs are upskilled, but also as corporates start treating their CSI programs and strategies as they would the rest. Other parts of their business, right? Mm-hmm. And then also linking their CSI to their business, because, you know, we're quite specific on strategic CSI. How is your CSI, how are your CSI efforts linked to your business, and how do you measure the return to the business, whether it be intangibles or whether it be monetary or whether it be in terms of productivity? So, you know, for instance, if the community you're working with is actually your workforce as well, how do you measure it in that place? So it certainly is something that needs to improve. But Google, what we also need to our message to corporates would be, and to executive teams, would be to be brave in their timelines. Often, you know, quarterly reporting, as we know, a big feature of corporates, especially in the U.S., you know, so you often, and you need to be showing constant progress. However, when you look at some of the developmental issues that we're dealing with, they often aren't going, you're not going to see results in the first year, 2 years, even after 5 years, you know. If you look at early childhood development, how do you know if the child that you're helping now, after 18 years of schooling, you know, so it does mean that boards need to be brave in terms of the type of leeway they give their CSI teams, that they become familiar and comfortable with measuring, I suppose, softer outcomes and outcomes that take time. So, for instance, if you are supporting GBV survivors, that's not something that you can measure and expect returns in the first month or two, because it's an impact on the survivor. It's often an impact on their children. And, you know, so it may take some time. You may find that those survivors only 2 years later have found productive work, are in a healthier space, their kids are in school. I mean, you're tracking metrics such as mental, emotional, and physical well-being, you know. So it's about what we measure being aligned to the developmental sector that we're in and not being too hasty with the outcomes that we expect.
Definitely. I like that, brave timelines and brave in terms of their reporting and how they manage the challenges. But opportunity still does remain here, Sheldon. And I do think it's important for us to leave this off on a positive note. If there's anything South Africans know how to do well, is to collaborate, especially when times are difficult or even when they're great, whether it's on the rugby field or if it comes to the pandemic. But help us unpack, you know, heightened levels of collaboration that can occur within the CSI space in South Africa.
So that was our theme for this year, Guru, was certainly collaborating for change, right? Not just collaborating for the sake of saying we've worked together, yes, and not just two-way partnerships. What we wanted to emphasize was the power of multi-stakeholder collaboration. So the type of collaboration that sees you working with, you know, companies who are your traditional competitors, you know, in your traditional space. But in this space, you're not competing, because what you're doing is you're combining your resources for impact. And that's going to be our theme next year, is impact at scale. So what you're looking at is saying, instead of us working individually or in silos, how do we work together? As some of those examples you mentioned, there was COVID. From our logistics and our rail and transport system, our businesses have come together and saying, look, this is affecting all of us. How do we work together? How do we work with government to get this right? And that's what we've looked in the book. So we've looked at, you'll find detailed articles on collaboration, the concept of collaboration, the different types of collaboration, you know, if you think of it on a spectrum from, you know, with two extremes on the end. And then what we also do is we look at success stories as well as failures when it comes to collaboration, so that there are concrete lessons in terms of how businesses can go about collaboration if they don't know how, leveraging the power of business associations. So we've got Business Unity South Africa, we've got Business for South Africa, the National Business Initiative. These are all bodies with very capable leaders, very capable and deep experience in collaborating. And they almost, you know, take some of the hard work out of it for corporates, who then work through them to have impact at scale. And that's what we try and get across in that collaborating chapter.
Yep.
And what the research shows, just briefly, Google, what the research shows is that companies are keen to collaborate, and they obviously collaborate with non-competitive partners.
Sure.
So, for instance, academics, other NPOs, and the like. But there's a shortage of multi-stakeholder collaboration. And collaboration that goes beyond just information sharing, you know. It's about, we've used examples where, you know, a number of big organizations. So you've got a number of your banks, Anglo-American, a number of other organizations working together with non-profit organizations and the government, the city of Johannesburg, for the Jersey My Jersey Initiative, which is about renewing the inner city and being conscious about it, being specific about it. And that is one that's working. It's highlighted in the book. It hasn't been an easy journey. But it is one that is working.
But definitely. We'll have to leave it there for tonight, though, Sheldon. Truly appreciate your time. And I guess for many more South Africans who are keen to read up on this, the insight and data and report is available on Trilog's website there for further insight into the status quo around CSI budgets in South Africa. Thank you again for your time this evening, Sheldon.
Thank you, Gugu.
Thank you. That's Sheldon Morais. He's the head of thought leadership at Trilog.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.